Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. And everybody, do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your fans behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Don't say.
Welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Monday edition of 3 and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, and Billy Williford. The gang is all here. Get your week started. Today's show brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, the official credit union of 3 and Out. We got lots to get to. Lots.
Happy Martin Luther King Jr.
Thank
Day
you
to everyone. Here and elsewhere.
Yeah. Kids are out of school. But the sports world just keeps rolling.
Yeah.
What, you're not fired up for today's edition of 3 and Out?
No, I guess the sports world does just keep going.
It never stops, really.
No. That adds up. That checks out.
Okay.
Where do we begin?
Well, the NFL's rigged. College basketball is—it was good enough over the weekend.
Good enough.
Anytime you beat a rival in their nasty, not even configured correctly gym, I feel like it's fine. Like it's good. That's good news, right?
Yeah. This team?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take any win.
We got a lot of NFL to get to, but I think we start with the win. We start with the positives. Tennessee
the good
beat Vanderbilt in basketball. Rather, would you call it easily? Or
the second half. The second half was fantastic. First half, not so much. Second half, that's what we need to see. Running the floor, pushing the tempo, rebounds, thunder dunks.
I mean, that gym gives everybody kind of a, I don't know, put you in a coma a little bit to get started, right? Like,
including the home team, a coma that they never woke up from.
That's true.
That has to be the stat of the weekend. Vanderbilt, 0-25 from three, snapping a 1,080 game streak of made threes. That's since the introduction of the three-point line, every game Vanderbilt had made at least one three. No longer.
Yikes.
Tennessee's defense just ratcheted down.
We joked about those MyBookie bets they would like give away kind of on Black Friday. They did it in 12 Games of Christmas, and some of them were like, will there be a three-point shot made in the second half of this game?
I feel like you could have made a lot of money.
You'd have made a lot of people sweat.
If you could say no threes in the first half.
I mean, it almost was both teams for the game. Tennessee went 1 of 8.
Yes. Smart to only take 8.
Vanderbilt, 0 of 25.
The shots aren't falling. Don't force it.
0 of 25. How is that even possible?
Well, they shot 25 times, Nate, and none of them went in. That's what happened here.
0 of 8, 0 of 2, 0 of 1, 0 of 5, 0 of 1, 0 of 3.
Who was 0 of 8? Was that their dude? What's his name, Billy? Their good player? There's an S in there.
Saban Lee.
Saban Lee, yes, Saban.
No, that was Dylan Dessou.
What was Saban Lee? 0 of 5?
Saban Lee.
Sorry, I thought you had the stats. I thought you were looking at the stats.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he didn't start, so that was weird.
Yeah, but for some reason he's kind of playing the six-man role, even though he's their best player.
Without
Well, you know, we all said Jerry Stackhouse would be a great, just fantastic college basketball coach.
Well, he does have a lot of really good suits.
That's what's all
about.
That's
half the battle, looking good on the sideline.
Look good, play good.
I mean, Saban Lee did score 14 points. Kind of cause a little havoc on your guards.
Nah.
Scottie Pippen Jr., 16 points.
Yeah, but he was 10 of 10 from the free throw line. Well, at least we made him earn it.
He got there.
He got there. It's a good point by you.
I'll give Vanderbilt credit. They were 1 of 1 from three-pointers after the shot clock had expired.
That's true. Oh, they thought for sure. They were at least we're going to have the – nope, sorry, wave it off.
I'll be honest.
Head tap.
I think that was off before the shot clock expired.
No, get out of here.
What?
Get out of here.
Did you watch it?
I don't remember.
Did I watch it? I watched every second of this game.
You didn't know Saban Lee's name.
I forgot. I knew it started with an S. So, what, I don't know Vanderbilt's roster, so I didn't watch the game? That's a bad take.
I mean, usually after my teams play a team, I remember the best player on the other team.
He didn't start. I was confused. I remembered Scottie Pippen Jr. Yes, that Scottie Pippen. Did you hear that during the broadcast? Scottie Pippen Jr. Yes, that Scottie Pippen. What other Scottie Pippen is there? Of course this is Scottie Pippen Jr. of the Scottie Pippen.
I feel like you just have to say that once. Like, yes, this is.
No, that's what they said, but duh. No, if it's a different Scottie Pippen, maybe say that.
Who are you hating on? Dame Bradshaw?
No, it wasn't Dame Bradshaw.
Okay.
I mean, they kind of had the thing with just Isaiah check. Thomas. You're like, oh, is that Isaiah Thomas' son? No, it's a different Isaiah
Thomas.
Right,
but if it's not, it makes sense. But if the guy's name is Scottie Pippen Jr., and they just said, yes, that Scottie Pippen, what other Scottie Pippen is there? I don't know another Scottie Pippen.
Well, just a Scottie Pippen that's nobody.
Never heard of him. Really nice. Just a good, solid performance. A great second half. Outscored them by 20 in the second half. Vols win by 21, 66-45. Jordan Bowden.
21 points.
The return. 7 of 11. 0 of 2 from 3, but he only shot 2. Remember,
he
his 1 of 13.
Right.
I thought he hit 1, but they said his toe was on the line.
Yeah.
7 of 8 from the free throw line. 21 points. 3 steals. 2 assists. 2 rebounds. Only 2 turnovers. Fulkerson and Pons had 12 apiece. I think this is kind of what you are going to look like the rest of the way. Maybe you have a night where you bang some threes in, but maybe not. What?
I just hope we shoot the ball a little better from the outside.
Well, I don't care. If we hit 1 of 8 and our opponents go 0 of 25, I like where we're going to be at.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We improved our three-point defense by 9 percentage points in one night. In one game, we went from giving up 37% from three to 29 point something.
The tape.
I said point something. It was 7-point-something percent. It's incredible. This just locked them down in their own building. Fans were booing made dunks of the home team because they wanted a three more than they wanted points. It was embarrassing. But I enjoyed it.
Well, we've said for a long time, it feels like Tennessee, despite pretty good defense, gets lit up by people from the 3-point line. That
not this time.
That, like, we're just unlucky. Wham, wham, wham. Well, we got paid. Like, I don't know. why the basketball gods did it this way, but it all got paid back on Saturday.
See, I don't like that, though. I don't like when 20 teams get hot, but now it's paid back.
I want to spread this out.
Yeah, exactly.
Save it for the big moments.
Because they hit 0 of 25.
They might still owe us more.
Hell no.
I don't
think that deal. It's a bad deal.
Well, you're dealing with the gods. You don't get to really decide.
Yes, I do.
It's called fate.
I took Greek mythology. You can turn the gods down and make them come back with a better deal. That's a bad deal.
Even before this game, though, Tennessee's three-point defense was better this season than last.
Well, of course, because last year was when this topic started last year when teams would just, I'm blind,
switch.
It started
2 years ago.
Might have been 2 years ago.
I felt it.
That petty kid from
really
Bama coming off the bench and scoring 30 because he couldn't miss from three last year? Mm-hmm. Golly, give me
two years ago, they finished 18th in the nation at three-point defense.
That's what it was, right? It was last year. How is the defense worse? We have the same players. That's what it was.
But
the interior.
Because they had to shoot 33s a game and hope you hit 10 or 15 of them. Mm-hmm. And they did. Often. Ryan Klein.
Tennessee has one of the best interior defenses in the nation right now.
And now we have probably, at least this week, the best perimeter defense in the nation. I mean, tell me another team that's given up 0 of 25 from 3 this week. Oh, wait. Yep, not going to come up with one because there probably isn't one.
Can you believe they did that in their own building? Like, how sad is that?
No, I made the joke before. Like, I could hit a three in an NBA game. Just give me all the shots. Give me 25 threes in a college basketball game. I'm knocking a few of these things down. And some of these shots were just, I mean, wide open.
Yeah.
And they would leave them short. Also, every kid for Vanderbilt shot totally broken. Every one of them looks like Jordan Bowden in the slump. You know, last week. Because he's out of it now, 21 points.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
He now knows that he can attack the rim and actually make layups, which we've been saying all season. Hey, man, attack the rim. You're good at it. Just make the layups. Not only did he do that, he got fouled and made his free throw 7 of 8. Had Dane Bradshaw on the call. I thought it was a good performance. This team's not going to show up and beat somebody 100-50. They're not going to hit 12 threes out of 13. Like, this is just not that team. This is probably about as good as you could hope for in the second half. It's a great second half.
Oh, yeah, 45-25 second half.
Yeah,
Tennessee.
That's what you need.
It's 21-20 at halftime.
First half was really ugly basketball. It was hard to watch. It was really difficult. Bowden, it was ugly basketball.
Bowden led the team with 21. Fulkerson and Pons each had 12. And then Josiah James with 6. Vescovi, 5. Plavsic and Kamwa had 4 each.
Thunder dunk by Kamwa.
And Jalen Johnson
showed
had
off
2.
Some of that athleticism that I broke down on tape last year. Plavsic looked pretty good in his 10 minutes. A rebound, a steal, 2 of 3. The jump baby hook is working now.
There.
He wasn't nervous.
He got some sleep the night Friday night.
Probably helped out. He said he didn't sleep before the first game. Now he's well rested. He looked good. They cut his minutes in half.
Yeah, do we like that?
I don't know. They did that with Vescovi too. He played like 36 minutes in the opener, his opener, of course. And then the next game he comes back, he barely plays at all. Like 21 minutes or 22. It was strange. Same thing with Plavsic.
Josiah James played 37 in this one, trying to give him a lot of work.
Yeah, he got you 9 rebounds, 5 assists. He led you in assists, and he led you in rebounds. Only 6 points, 2 of 8. Of course, he was 0 of 2 from 3 because only one person made a 3. That was Vescovi. It was early in the second half, right?
So Vescovi had
the announcer's like, finally, we have one. I made 3. And that would be the only one of the game.
That's incredible.
I mean, when was the last time a game took place in which no one made a 3? I mean, I'm sure it's like fairly recent, but it's probably 2 teams that don't really matter. I mean, we were painfully close to probably being maybe the first SEC game since the introduction of the 3-point line to not have a made 3.
I mean, that's kind of like saying the first game ever, really.
Basically, yes.
Because you can't
make
a 3 when there's no line.
Exactly. Well, they call it the old-fashioned way. We had to get fouled and make the basket.
I
I don't know. It's unbelievable. They had made a three in every game.
1,080 in a row. Not threes, but games with a three.
With a three.
1,080 threes in a row would be a record.
I mean, they've gone back and done shot charts of, like, would have shots been threes before the line. I bet even most of those games had shots that would have been threes.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, the line used to be a lot closer. You remember, have you seen those old videos where the line is inside the top of the key?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
It looks really weird.
Missed that.
It, like, bisects the circle.
And that was the original three-point
line? Yeah, it was closer than, it must have been like 18 feet.
Well, we did say all year, like, hey, you know, they're backing up this three-point line. That's going to impact some teams. It's going to drop the percentage a little
bit.
You did. What we say, like a percentage and a half to two?
Or to zero.
Or from, you know, 40-ish percent to zero of 25.
You said Tennessee lowered their three-point defense, and you meant for the season. But for a split second, I was like, what do you mean only 8%? They shot zero. Like, I was thinking.
Oh, yeah, the season total dropped like 8 or 9 percentage points because Vanderbilt's so bad.
I thought you were saying how low they held them below the average. And I was like, shouldn't it be like 30%?
Yeah, it'd be 38% below average. I think it was 30.
I was like, the math should be easy here.
It was like 30.
He's like, no, that's 9. I'm like, what are you doing?
It was like 36.8 or 37.1 to now we're at 27.9. It's something ridiculous.
It's skewed our statistics. We're going to have to throw this game out to get an accurate read on how good we are.
Yeah, you probably do, actually. Yeah. But, I mean, in your own gym, with a new coach against your arch rival, you haven't won an SEC game since March of 2018. And you can't even knock in a three. And then the fans boo you for not shooting them. Tragic.
It was early March, too.
Yeah, it was like March 7th or something.
Third.
The third, really? Ugh. Ugh. Ugh.
Might as well just count it as February.
They'll win one this year, right?
Not if that's the performance they put out there. I'll be honest.
No, they're never going to do that again. They're never going to go 0-25.
Oh, I thought you meant like win an SEC game this year.
That's what I meant. But you said if they keep putting up that performance, I'm saying no team in the country is going to go 0-25 from three.
Well,
that wasn't
the thing, and this is why I thought the Vols actually did really well in the second half, and you saw some guys start to actually be like, oh, that's improvement. That's good to see. Vanderbilt's probably the least physical team we've played all year.
Yeah, they're athletic, but they're not physical.
And that's what the Vols need. Because, like, I mean, if you go back and you watch some of these games, you would see, like, we weren't really winning the loose ball battles. There would be times where we'd get a rebound, and the next thing you know, somebody just kind of comes from behind and tips it out, and they get a steal, like, right down under their own basket.
Been saying it since week one. This team is not they don't value the basketball.
So
they're not very tough.
The fact that Vanderbilt wasn't doing those types of plays was to our benefit, and that's why you saw, like, players like Kamwa and I even thought, like, Jalen Johnson was able to kind of get some things going
here
there.
I know he only had 2 points. I think this was his best defensive performance.
I'd agree.
He did foul out, apparently. I don't remember him fouling out. But he was hustling. He was flying around. Dane Bradshaw said he told him this week that he wanted to be more than a shooter.
So hopefully, like, with them not playing physical, maybe it just helps as far as mentally having something kind of go your way.
Well, I think it shows you that if you are the more physical team, look at the good things that can happen.
Yeah.
And now maybe the next game, even though that team's going to probably be more physical than Vanderbilt, you can then be more physical than you were and kind of keep that edge moving forward.
So that, in my opinion, just the lack of physicality really went to the Vols' advantage, and hopefully they can realize, like, all right, like you just said, Houston, once we actually play with a little bit of an edge, what can actually happen as far as getting good things going on the offensive and defensive end?
Vanderbilt was 12 of 51 from the field. That's, I don't think that,
no bueno.
I don't think that's very good. Mm. 23.5%.
When in Stripes ask, how bad does Candy miss Kevin Stallings?
Where's he even at now?
He at Pitt?
He was.
And then
he got
fired. Didn't he get like fired, traded, or something to somewhere? Didn't they switch coach?
Well, they got
switch coach.
Jeff Capel. No, because Capel came over from Duke.
Huh. There was some weird thing there because Jamie J- Jamie Kennedy went to TCU,
yeah.
Right?
And then they hired Kevin Stallings.
Right, and then Stallings went, it was something weird.
He didn't go anywhere after Pittsburgh.
Really?
According to
this. He's just out there floating around.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was 24 or 40, 41 at Pitt. Not good.
Oof. Yeah, he hadn't been hired.
Speaking of where coaches are, have you guys seen the Billy Kennedy look-alike on Tennessee's bench?
No.
Billy Kennedy that coached at Texas A&M looks just like him.
Is he?
Maybe it's him.
I can't find where he's at.
Oh.
So maybe he's like a...
Maybe it's Billy Kennedy just sneaking around just under the radar.
I take it.
An unpaid...
He's volunteering.
How's he doing health-wise? Does anybody know?
Who?
Billy Kennedy.
Do you have health problems?
Yeah, he had early onset Parkinson's. Oh. Like the early stages.
Jeez, I did not know that at all.
Bring it down, David. Golly.
Well, I'm just asking. I mean,
I don't know how to move forward from that. Jeez. He had Parkinson's.
So is
it's just a fact.
So is the lookalike a part of the, like a GA or something?
Probably.
I mean, I can't find him on the coaching staff. So.
All right.
It's a guy who doesn't even exist. Great. Got Parkinson's and a ghost. This is good. What the hell just happened to this show?
I was asking if you guys knew. I mean, that would be a great addition.
I feel like that would have been a known thing if it had happened.
I would agree with Nate that it would have been known.
Yeah.
Would have been a known thing.
Stallings went winless in the ACC, then he was let go.
Yeah, it was bad.
One strike.
It was bad.
Well, that's and Vanderbilt did it in the SEC last year. That's just
tough. Man,
it's leaving a legacy. I think.
He was never that bad at Vanderbilt.
No, he wasn't.
No, he was there like 17 years.
And every year it didn't make sense as much as it did the year before. It just kept making less sense that they would bring him back.
He was really good. I feel like way back in the day.
Yeah, then he got worse every single year.
A little worse.
Yeah. Then maybe they'd like. I mean, he had some pretty good players, you know, like Shane Foster. He seems like he always had like a 7-foot white Australian who would just bomb threes against us.
Man.
Parkinson's.
I mean, if it wasn't Vanderbilt, I'd feel sorry for him.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people saying, oh, I just kind of feel bad now. They wouldn't feel bad if it was Tennessee.
Uh-uh.
They wouldn't. So they don't get that sympathy from me.
I was glad.
They've beaten Southeastern Missouri.
It made the end of the game so much more enjoyable. I was like, we're up 20. We can't mess this up. And then they just kept missing threes, and I just kept laughing and laughing and
whoever
laughing.
Whoever AMCC is, App State, South Carolina State, Southeastern
Louisiana.
What are
you reading right now?
These are Vanderbilt's wins. Buffalo, not the Bills, just the Bulls.
Thank you. Thank you. It's not the Bills.
UNC Wilmington. They did get Davidson.
Yeah, that's a pretty good win.
And then they lost their next five. SMU and four SEC games.
Hey, these first-year head coach, it's tough out there.
I'm not sure when they're going to win one either. Like, they have Alabama at home. Alabama's been playing better. They have to go on the road.
They are playing better.
They have to go on the road to South Carolina. They beat A&M over the weekend. So, I mean, Vanderbilt could win that one. But if they don't, it's on the road to Kentucky, then Florida, LSU, at Mississippi State, Kentucky again, at Florida, at Tennessee, Georgia, Missouri, at Ole Miss, at Alabama, South Carolina, wrap it up. It just doesn't feel like they should win any of those games.
No, it's going to come Missouri, Ole Miss, or South Carolina late in the season.
It's going to be it?
I think so. Unless they beat South Carolina on Saturday, but, man.
It feels like every good chance they have is on the road.
Could be worse. Could be a Vandy fan.
Oh, with 25.
Unbelievable.
Seriously, though, weird two scores in the conference this weekend. Florida, 69.
Nice.
Auburn, 47. 47 for Auburn. I think they hit like 4 of 28 from 3.
They started the season 15-0 and have lost two straight by almost 20.
That's the thing, though. They're not a very good three-point shooting team, and they continue to shoot threes.
Hey, that's the Bruce Pearl way. And then Mississippi State, 91-59 over Georgia, who just killed Tennessee.
That makes sense to me.
That makes no sense to me If they'd have won, sure. But 91-59? Oof.
Ben Hallen.
I mean, yes, he's their coach. I mean, Tom Crean's a pretty good coach, too.
That's debatable.
Okay.
We'll come back. Lots to get to on this Monday edition of the program. Stick with us. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Today's broadcast brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. The official credit union of 3 and Out for 85 years. I've been helping their members grow financially, move upward and forward. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, tvacreditunion.com, to become a member. So one Tennessee team got the victory on Saturday, 66-45, Tennessee basketball. Gets a win. I mean, it's Vanderbilt played awful, but Tennessee.
You forced them to.
Tennessee had to win this game. I mean, this was a you have to win it.
Yeah, it was a can't lose.
The first half was ugly, but it was nice to see the Vols turn the corner and play well in the second half. The second half score was 45-25. So even if Vanderbilt had shot a respectable percentage from the 3-point line in the second half, especially, like, Tennessee would have won this game.
Feels like it.
They covered the spread easily. It was kind of nice to have a team not show up and just get kind of a freebie. I think the team needed a stress-free road win. That hopefully it allows for them to really get, you know, fired up and ready for the midweek game, which against Ole Miss is another kind of like, hey, you need this one. It's Tuesday. It's a quick turnaround. You don't want to go into a battle. You don't want to go down to the wire with Vanderbilt stressing out and then turn around quickly and play the early game during the week. So Tennessee hosts Ole Miss Tuesday at 9 o'clock, Thompson Bowling Arena.
9? Dang.
Yeah.
I hate that.
9. Kind of weird because the LSU-Florida game, which is in, you know, central time, is at 7, but whatever.
Why did they do that?
Missouri is hosting A&M also. That one's also at 9 o'clock, so that makes a little more sense.
Hmm.
But we'll turn it back to basketball later, kind of spin you around the league, get you set up for the week and all that good stuff. But I think it's time that we say goodbye to Davies and your 2019 Tennessee Titans. It was a good run. Came up short in the AFC Championship game. Kansas City 35, Tennessee 24. Sad part is, Davey said it all week, second half team, just need to play well in the first half, get off to a good start. They did that, especially on offense. Tennessee was putting points on the board every time they had the football, which is what you have to do against Patrick Mahomes. And then final possession, or basically the final possession of the first half happened. And you let a guy that had a dislocated kneecap earlier in the season skirt the sideline, cut it back in the field of play, run through your guys that can't tackle, and score a touchdown with 11 seconds left to give the Chiefs the lead, who were getting the football back to start the second half.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the moment. Yeah. Say it all the time. Last 4 minutes of the first half, first four of the second. It's more of a basketball thing, but last 2 minutes of the first half, start of the second half, football, it's important.
Yeah, that's what was frustrating is because the Titans had been so great in those situations throughout the year. And
had not given up a final drive touchdown going into the half all season. And then just the way they gave it up, 27-yard scamper by Mahomes, who was your
I thought he was about to just shove him out of bounds, and then the old cutback.
Yeah, I mean, quarterbacks do this more nowadays where there'll be times you think they're just going to step out of bounds because they know they can't get hit. And he did a good job a couple of times. I mean, I'll be honest, I was like, man, he's doing that a lot. Like, somebody just needs to take the flag. Like, just make him know, like, you're going to hit him if he does it.
He'd run, like, at a, a specific angle to the sideline, and then he'd cut it up for an extra 3, 4, 5, 6 yards every single time.
I was like, just let him know, like, if he keeps doing that, like, he's going to get hit. Like, I don't care about the 15 yards at that point. No, they were already in field goal range.
You're right. Like, they should have, not to be dirty, but, like.
You got to let him know, man. Like, if you're going to do that, like, you, there's a chance you're going to have to take a
shot. And even if it didn't deserve a flag, they probably would have thrown it, because this is the NFL, and you got to protect your quarterbacks, especially a star like Pat Mahomes. But, like, that. That's the issue when you protect quarterbacks so much, is he's running on a line where he's going to pick up 7 yards.
Yeah.
But then he gets to the sideline and then cuts it up and gets an extra 3, 4, and all of a sudden, oh, man, he's got a first down.
Yeah.
Because defenders are thinking, okay, he's going to run out of bounds. I'm not going to hit him. I'm going to pull up a little bit. And then he just squirts kind of between you and the sideline, and he gets an extra 3, 4 yards. He did it all game. Davey's right. Like, the Titans should have, at one point, popped him. And they didn't. Because that probably would have been seen as dirty.
Yeah.
I totally get it, but it cost you.
Most glaring issue for me for the Titans was the inability to get a pass rush without sending somebody on a blitz.
Well, it was also weird that not only could they not get a pass rush without blitzing, but they sent three seemingly all game.
Yeah.
Which is why Mahomes was able to run, because he'd sit back there, he'd count forever. Oh, nobody's open. I have all day. I'll continue to look. But by then, you know, the Chiefs wide receivers and tight ends, they're running everybody off the line of scrimmage. And then he would just 6, 7, 8 yards every single time. And then he bust the big one before the half, which was just, as Nate said, a backbreaker, because you had actually played well. And it looks like at that point, what he scored, I think there were 11 seconds left.
Yeah, I mean, you need to make.
I think they had two or three timeouts.
They had two left.
Yeah, so you're thinking, okay, maybe you can stop them here.
You need to make one play there at some on that drive, and you hold them to a field goal.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, if you force a field goal there, tie game feels very different, because then the third quarter, which went scoreless, it just feels different if it's a tie game. But instead, you're down. So now, and this has kind of been the thing, right? If the Titans don't have the lead, and this is all football, it's a little bit tougher to stick with the run. And unfortunately, after what I thought was a pretty good first half, Henry just couldn't get going in the second half. And well, the Chiefs defense did a really good job on him. And I know every team has talked a little bit about, oh, he's not that hard to tackle. Oh, he is. But the Chiefs in the second half, I give him credit, man. They stopped the run.
Well, the Titans defense did get a stop coming out of the break. Yep. I mean, they're down four. The Chiefs are getting the ball first. It looked like that was danger point. The Chiefs did get did pick up three first downs, actually. It was a 10-play, 37-yard drive that took 4 minutes off the clock, 3:59 to be exact, but they still had to punt. And they didn't even really back up Tennessee that badly. Tennessee got the ball at their own 21-yard line. So, I mean, you're still right in it right there to start the second half. And the Tennessee offense goes 6 plays, 17 yards, runs. They run 4 minutes off the clock. So, like you're talking about, that third quarter is kind of burning up halfway through. Both teams have just traded punts. And then maybe the drive that made you feel like it was, you know, was really going to be a huge uphill climb at that point was the 13-play, 73-yard, 7 minutes and 8 seconds off the clock, as the Chiefs drive it all the way down for a touchdown.
Yeah, that was the drive that felt like exactly what you wanted the Titans to do in that scenario. Bunch of first downs, milk the clock, punch it in, and instead it was the Chiefs. I think it's pretty clear that was the game plan from Vrabel. Like, don't give up anything huge over the top. Make them, you know, execute 13, 14 plays if they're going to score a touchdown. And that's what they did late when they had to. How many plays did you say that drive was?
13 plays, 73 yards, 7:08 off the clock. And they ran the ball a lot. Like, they especially to start the drive. And that's something that people were giving Andy Reid a lot of credit for after the game. They're like, hey, you know, you're up four, third quarter, and you had a drive where you featured your run game. Damian Williams had the first four carries of the drive. And then Patrick Mahomes picked up, I think, two third down first downs with his legs.
Yep. Two. on those plays that we were talking about earlier where he runs to the sideline like he's going to be short, and then he tiptoes and dances up and gets an extra 3, 4, 5 yards.
At that point, you're down 2 scores, and I mean, you really have to do something, and you go 4 plays and punt.
I mean, I don't think the game plan was horrible. I don't think it was coaching malpractice. I don't think Vrabel. I thought some of the early calls actually were really, really good. I think the better team won.
I agree with that.
Do think there were a couple of weird situations that. I've gone back and people have explained it to me. The ref throws the flag as soon as the ball is snapped, and then the call is a hold. Because
they should have explained that. Then.
Right.
They should have said,
no, I agree.
We threw a flag for an illegal formation. We decided it wasn't illegal, but there was also a hold, or there's 2 fouls on the play.
Yeah.
I mean, I never thought, as soon as I saw that, I thought there's no way he's calling holding. Like, I mean, these guys know they're on TV. Let's say that the Chiefs paid that guy $1 million to throw the game. He's going to be smart enough to wait until the play happens to throw the flag. Like, it had to be something else.
Sure.
But they still did a poor job of...
Right. In that scenario, I was just like, an explanation there would have been nice because it just looked weird.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with you. Like, I didn't think it was this blatant cheating. It just didn't make sense when you looked at the video and then got the, oh, yep, it's a hold. I never even saw the other penalty, but they had already put the graphic up, and the other flag, excuse me. So that, I'm not up in arms over that one. A lot of people are saying, oh, the fix is in. What did you guys think of the late pass interference on third down, deep down the field?
I just thought the call was inconsistent throughout the game. They called that one right there on Brock. I didn't like the call. I thought he turned his head around in time, and I thought the ball hit Brock in the back or like the shoulder at the same time the defender made contact or the receiver made contact with the defender.
Well, that was what was weird to me is because it was an underthrown ball.
They usually give that call, I will say, like, but at the same time they had the same opportunity where Adam Humphries, like a defensive tackle or something, is coming back and he hits Humphries as the same time the ball hits the back of the Chiefs guy, but there was no
flag
there.
That was
on the
next drive for the Titans,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So it's like, if you're going to call it one way, just call it the other.
It felt like the exact same play.
Yeah.
It felt like the exact same scenario. Chiefs got the flag on the deep one, and Tennessee doesn't get it there. Man, some people were saying you got to challenge that. I mean, I don't think you would have got it. I think the NFL's kind of proven this year that challenging PI is basically a waste of time. I just
close enough to where they weren't going to.
I just didn't like it, man. It was an underthrown ball. The receiver's coming back. I thought Brock got his head around, and the receiver 100% initiated contact. I mean, what is Brock supposed to do there? He got his head around. He can't just get out of the way. That one felt weird to me. And I guess it's a good idea by Mahomes, right? Just throw it up there, underthrow it, and try to get a PI. I did not think it was PI.
I think referees look for that. Well, he's not looking back for the ball. That indicator, like, too much now. It's like, it doesn't – there's no call for face guarding anymore. If I face guard you and don't touch you until the ball's hitting me in the back of the head, like if the ball's hitting me in the back of the head, I can drag you down. Like, but I feel like anytime if I'm running and I'm chasing you and I'm not looking at the ball at all and I jump up and the ball hits me and I don't touch you, I still feel like that they're ready to throw the flag if there's any way they can.
Whereas no, they are.
It should be, when does the indicator should be what was the contact and when did it occur? And then the tiebreaker should be, was he playing the ball or not? Like, oh, he definitely made contact a little early. I'm not sure there's a flag or not. But he was playing the ball, so I'm not going to throw it. Oh, he wasn't playing the ball, I'm throwing it. Like, that's the order it should be.
Yeah.
They've, like, inverted it for some reason. And you even heard the little, like, Steratore, whoever they had explaining it. Well, he wasn't playing. That's the first thing they mentioned. He wasn't playing the ball. It's like, yeah, you can't run as fast as the receiver if you're looking back for the ball. I mean, you can't, because the receiver can change direction. You have to be in tune with that. You can only turn and be what Nick Saban calls in phase once the ball's in the air. Because the ball's not in the air. If I'm playing man-to-man, I'm running with a guy, and the ball's not in the air, well then, and I turn to look back, well, now he changes direction, and I've lost him. Like, that's...
As he turns, he hits the ball with his shoulder.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
I just don't think that's PI. I mean,
but I don't think that overturned. I don't either.
I just don't think the initial. I saw a lot of people. Oh, it's definite pass interference. He never turned. He did turn his head. He turned his head and hit the ball when he turned his head. And the only reason there was contact is because Hardman jumps across, like his running line to the ball and runs into Brock. I didn't like the call. I still don't like it.
I think I'd be a let him play official. Like, I don't want to throw the flag unless I can clearly see like a definite advantage. I mean, he's in good position.
There weren't any holding calls on the Chiefs' offense, I don't think, for the entire day. So there was a couple of opportunities. Like,
well, that was the thing early when we were getting a little bit of pressure on Mahomes. We would have had more pressure, except every time we would get by, they would grab the jersey for a split second and give you the hiccup step because they had your jersey. Didn't get called all day. And I think the only hold call of the day was the one with the phantom flag that everybody was talking about. There weren't a lot of holding calls. There weren't a lot of PI calls. At that point, I don't know that it matters. I didn't like that PI call. I still think the better team won. It stinks, but the Chiefs are just pretty good.
Yeah, the Chiefs are a better assembled cast and crew.
And their defense is a lot better now than it was early in the season, and I think that's the story, is the Chiefs locking down on Derrick Henry, something no team had been able to do towards the back half of the schedule, and something they didn't do in the first matchup. Henry ran all over them, and then yesterday, partially because they had the lead, and then partially because their defense just played better, they were able to shut them down.
We'll come back. Final segment, hour one. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour one. Talking Titans, Chiefs. I just hit the holding call on the highlights here.
Ah, yeah.
During the break. Yeah. Did you think that was justified? The actual, you know, I guess he did. I mean, he did kind of tackle him.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think it mattered, though. That's what I hate about that.
Well, that's why it's, you don't need to do it.
Right, you don't need to hold.
Yeah, you got to throw the flag if you're the ref. I mean, it's a hold, but I hate that kind of stuff when it just doesn't impact the play.
Now, I mean, I think the ref had to call it. I mean, the guy kind of, it was, who's the guy that caught the touchdown?
Dennis Kelly.
So he's in on this short yardage play, and this defensive lineman just kind of clownies him. He just kind of knifes inside so fast, he just reaches out and kind of tackles him. Or hog ties him for a second. He's just trying to block another guy, too. So that's tough. But as we mentioned, I mean, the Titans' defense did stop the Chiefs to come out to start the second half, but the offense scored the first three possessions, you know, a field goal and two touchdowns. So, like, who do we blame more for this performance? Was it the defense not being able to stop Mahomes at the end of the second half and then ultimately kind of getting figured out? It felt like Andy Reid kind of, okay, you're going to sit back. We're going to do this and this and this and run the ball more at your three-man kind of front. Or do we blame the offense for not being able to get going and having to punt a couple times in a row when you really had to have some points to start the second half?
I'd put it on both a little bit. I don't know if I could. I know what your question is. I know it's frustrating. It's a difficult question to answer. I would say at the end of the first half, I probably put it more on the defense. In the second half, I put it more on the offense. Just if you're the Titans, you knew to come in and win this game, you probably needed at least 30 points on the offensive side. And if you're the defense, all right, let's try to just keep them in the upper 20s at most. I don't know if, to give you just an answer. I would probably put it more on the defense as a whole, just because I didn't think they made the necessary adjustments in the second half. I know I said we stopped them on that one drive, but it seemed like whenever you needed a critical stop, you just couldn't get it.
Yeah, I mean, even if you could have forced some field goals, I mean, that's how you won the game the last time. You forced them to kick or to line up for six field goals in the game you won, and won barely during the season. They had a bad snap on one, so actually kicked five in that matchup. And in this game, you know, the fact that the Chiefs at the end of the first half were able to score a touchdown instead of a field goal, And then when it was 21-17, they were able to score the touchdown instead of a field, like, you know, the kick field goal is there. You're still within a touchdown right at the start of the second half or start of the fourth quarter. You know, if you hold them there, you're still in it. You're down a touchdown. You go down. You could tie the game with one possession. Once they scored to go up 28-17 early in the fourth, it felt like, okay, now the Titans are going to have to, you know, the game's changed. You're behind. You're playing from behind and going to have to do something quick, and you just given up a seven-minute drive, which feels like it might be tough for your defense to even stop them, even if you can get the first score of two that you need. And it just didn't really feel like you had it at that point. I do feel like the cast and characters for the Chiefs is better than the Titans as a whole, and so when they play at the top of their range, like you're going to have to play pretty much perfect football. And that didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the Titans do in the offseason as far as trying to make some free agent acquisitions and what you do with the contracts for Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, because they're both free agents at the end of this year.
Did you see what Henry said after the game?
No, I kind of, after the game was over,
I could have done more.
No, he said some things like, it sounded like he was out. Like, he was like, I'll remember this team. I appreciate it. I don't know. It sounded like he doesn't expect to be re-signed. I thought the quotes were odd.
Oh. I didn't listen to anything after. I just saw a headline that he said he wished he could have done more during the game, and then something about he'll be shedding a tear for the season or something like that. So you thought...
I don't know. I have to go back and listen
what,
to it.
It may be nothing. It just... I don't know.
Just been talking about just this season, this team.
Yeah, like, it was just a weird way to, I guess, close the door on the season is all.
It's kind of a Butch Jones thing. You know, this was team number whatever it was. Now he's on to the new team, the next team, the 2020 squad.
Yeah.
I mean, just pay the man, right? Like, what else are you going to do? Who else are you going to spend it on?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you would do as far as the running back position. I know we talk about how with today you don't want to break the bank on a running back, but you just see, I mean, when Derrick Henry is going and he's playing at an elite level, this team wins the games. When he doesn't, you kind of get this type of outcome.
I mean, I feel like you just pay him a lot of money, fairly short-term deal, and then figure out how to the most efficient way to keep Tannehill without, I mean, if he wants franchise quarterback money, obviously you try and not do that. You try and get him at a discount, but, you know, you keep it together for now, but then kind of have a plan that if that doesn't work, then you kind of reset the board moving forward. We'll kick off hour two. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.